You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Dickerson, Bostic, Callis behind the glass, and joining us right now is our guy, Carlo Zofka, Whoopio Insider. What's up, Carlo? How you doing?
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. Great to be
back. Yep, there you go.
Can we get him on camera, please? There we go.
Thanks for having me. Great to be back. Great to be back. It's Whoopio football season.
I want to let you know, Carlo, right now that Pat Narduzzi is tuned in the staff room right now.
Oh, boy.
Everything you
say. Oh, boy.
Being recorded and watched.
You're being recorded and monitored, and anything you say or do can and will be held against you in the court of dues.
Every once in a while when I get out of line on Twitter, he sends me a text. Hey, what is this? Oh, my bad, coach. Let me fix it. My bad.
And that's literally the first thing I think of whenever you tweet something. I think of, oh, I wonder what Deuce feels about this. Like, I swear, it's every single time he tweets
I've always loved this guy, so I hesitate. And anytime you, like, put Deuce on the scent for anything, it's like, I don't know, he's like a hound dog.
Oh, yeah.
And then he
won't stop until he figures it out.
Well, and if he's like, hey, did you see this? He'll pick up the phone and call the person immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And then put them on speaker.
Oh, yeah. Like for an audience. Oh,
especially like you.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Because he loves you.
Yeah.
You know, deep down inside, there's a love there, but he'll never forgive you for leaving him.
No. Yeah. When you leave Pat Narduzzi, I mean, it's not easy to do. You know, he's a great guy. It's like part of the family. You know, it's like you're leaving a family. But, no, sometimes you got to make a big boy decision, and I am glad I did. I mean, I would say this Whoopio football season, I mean, I pulled an all-nighter last night editing my podcast with Matt Fargo and Brad Everett, and, you know, I was like, the fire and passion, I haven't had this since I was, like, in the middle of recruiting somebody for Pitt. Like, you're in a dogfight, like, hey, let's get as much as we possibly can view-wise, and, last night we had 11 guests on the podcast. It's over a 4-hour. It's absurd. Wow. Over a 4-hour podcast. Our podcasts are usually an hour long. There's more Whoopio football content than you could ever imagine. There's nobody that's going to be able to listen to all this. There's no way.
I love it, man.
Listen to the Fan Morning Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Carlo, tell me if I'm off base here, but I feel like in the last, you know, maybe decade, that Whoopio football hasn't been as good as it once was. Is it trending upwards now?
Well, that's
Or am I totally off base about the last decade?
That's a great point. I think that you are correct. I think for the first time in quite a while, it's trending up. There's currently 21 commits to the Power Four that will be playing this year. That's the most in 15 years. So you go back to the 2020 class, the 2021 class, you're talking there was only 3 Power Four guys playing.
Right.
There's 21 now. So I think it's on an uptick. I do think the WPL is a little bit over-recruited just because it's oversaturated. You know, it's because we have that stigma around the country. Like, hey, you want a tough, really good football player, you go to Western Pennsylvania. So a lot of Power Fours are in it. And, you know, to kind of get the inroads, they're going to offer maybe a fringe level player. So that can lead to the Whippy being over-recruited. Because if you look at any preseason watch list, Donovan Walker got one. At Ohio University, Bobcat, he's a DB from Aliquippa. He was on one. I think that was it amongst current college players. So that's not good. You know, mm-hmm. you want to be all conference. You want to be on those award watch lists. I mean, the running back, Doak Walker list, I think there was 130 people on the watch yeah. list. No Whipple guys. No Whipple running backs on the watch list. So I think that's a little bit of a concern because the talent wasn't where it was at. But I think in the future, I think that this is a good group of kids right now. But, you know, we got to keep them. There's been a lot of transfer portaling out of the Whipple recently. That's been the hot button issue. We had 7 Division I kids leave this year, either go out of state or to a different school or different program.
What's the issue there? Why do you think that's happening?
A lot of entitlement. Everybody.
Money.
I don't even think money. Well, money in a little bit, because if you're not ranked a 4-star and a top 100 player, you know, you don't get the NIL bag. And these parents know that. So they're like, hey, if you're not putting my son in this position, we're out of here. So it leads to parents telling the coaches what they need to do. And the coaches kind of just looking at them like, I don't think so. It's
not mm-hmm. I'm the coach.
So those guys are leaving. So the entitlement is a little bit crazy, but it's tough. You know, I used to do the Whipple top prospect list to, you know, highlight all the top guys in the Whipple. And if you made that prospect list, like, the gratitude was through the roof. Like, the kids and the coaches were like, man, that is really
I
awesome.
See people crushing you now.
They murder it.
Crushing yeah. you.
They're, how dare you disrespect right. me? Yeah. You ranked me number 7 in the Whipple. I'm like, that was pretty good.
You're right. Like, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
It's crazy.
But
it's crazy.
I will say this. I mean, and I've got this theory on football in Western Pennsylvania. We got to keep him on for more than one segment.
Yeah,
by
yeah,
the way.
We'll do that.
I got this theory on football in Western Pennsylvania because I didn't grow up here,
mm-hmm.
and we've gotten into our little schisms before about this. When I came here, I found out real quick how big it is, and I still think culturally it's really important. What I've seen even in my community in Mount Lebanon when Bob Pelko was there.
Yeah.
It took a huge jump, and the pride is it takes somebody like that. But the participation in football, I mean, the game's under siege across our country,
mm-hmm.
right? And the socioeconomics of football, where players are coming from, you know, what you're doing in this marketplace is to promote the game.
Correct.
And not necessarily to peddle players
right.
and make them over-recruited, but to promote the game. And I do think that it starts with youth football. It starts with flag football. It starts with all these things that I think, you know, you look back in the 80s and there were, 35 Power 5 players.
Oh, yeah, 40, probably more.
50. Yeah. You know, right, the steelworker generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's Eds, it's Meds, it's Tech, it's mm-hmm. it's all this other stuff. So we've got to reinsert ourselves in the early part of the game, kids that are our age, our kids their age, and promote the game to them. Like, you have to – you can't just – it's not just going to happen, right? I know West State football is a big deal. I know Central Catholic football is a big deal. I absolutely know South Fayette's a big deal. But you have to – they have to be active in the communities with kids because you're competing against lacrosse.
Yeah.
You're competing against baseball year-round. You got all these sports, and we got to find different ways to penetrate the market. And I think a big part of that, Carlo, is what you're doing, man. Your platform – Don't undersell how important that can be.
I mean, the goal of the platform is to try to educate the casual fan, like, hey, here are the – like, I do my top 20 list. Here are the top 20 running backs in the Whipple. And somehow that turned into, oh, my God, you ranked this guy number 15. I mean, if you're a top 20 guy in the air, I thought that's
pretty good.
Good. But, you know, I get it. I mean, people are always going to go to bat for their guys. But I think another major issue in Pennsylvania, it's a PIAA thing, is that these head coaches, you know, they're on a stipend. And that stipend is about $10,500 unless you're hired into the school district, which not everybody can do. Well, guess what? It's now a 24/7, 365 job with
yep.
recruiting. Who want like nobody
for,
can make
for
that
10 grand.
Commitment for 10 grand. You can't do it. So you're losing these unbelievable coaches left and right. And it's a little bit of a problem. And, you know, you look at the best states in regards to development and, you know, putting players into school. It's Texas. It's Georgia. It's Florida. And all those high school coaches are paid like a high school coach would be paid.
How much are they making in those other states?
I have a story about that. And this goes back to when I was getting recruited. Remember going to San Antonio for the U.S. Army yeah. All-America? You played in the game. Yeah. I went to the combine. And my coach and I, Mike Melnick and I, went to a Tex-Mex place for dinner. And sat with a bunch of guys that were there.
And this one is
of
the, 2006.
This is 2006. One of the kids was from Texas, and his coach was there. And Mike turns to him, we're having dinner, and he goes, so what do you teach? He's like, teach. He's like,
linebackers.
Defense. Yeah, all right. And they start having a side conversation. He looks to me, he goes, Pat, I'm in the wrong state.
Yeah.
He goes, he's making $130,000. He has a car.
Almost 20 years ago.
All he does is coach football.
Yep. It's a in Georgia.
And they're building stadiums.
There's 150 coaches making over $120,000 a year.
And there's districts.
Over 150.
There's districts around here where you can't even get a job.
No.
Right. You can coach there, but you might be teaching at, you can coach at Mount Lebanon and you'd be teaching at Baldwin.
Yeah. Will that ever be a part of the WIPIO? Like, will they ever get to that point, the WIPIO, paying coaches?
The problem, it's a PIAA issue, and the PIAA moves at. I mean, if you guys think the WIPIO is slow, the PIAA is like a snail with these things. So it's a problem. I wish it could be addressed, you know, within the short term, and the short term to me is like the next 5 years. I don't see it happening. So it's really just going to be the love of the game. It's probably going to be a lot of young guys, but, you know, once you get to those 40, 50-year-olds, and that's when coaches are really at their prime. I mean, those guys, they're going to go live their life, you know. There's not going to be many more Bill Chirpeks or Jim Renders around the world. And it's sad to say, but that's reality. And we have to get with the times. We're way behind in PA. If you just look at the stats alone, we're not sending our kids to college enough. And if that's what the end-all be-all is, well, we're lacking comparatively to the early 2000s at least. And that's only 20 years ago. Imagine the 70s and 80s.
Wow.
So.
Is there NIL in high school now? In PA, Western PA?
Yeah, there is. Not many take advantage of it. Like, I know that Quinn Martin, when he was coming out of Belvoir, and he was on, like, Allegheny Health Network billboards and stuff like that. So, I mean, the top guys get some. Rodney Gallagher got some, but I don't think it's like real money.
Now, Florida, they're...
Florida, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater just got fired for
doing
NIL, but... Yeah, it's all weird. Like, the rules are archaic. For Teddy Bridgewater to be fired, you know, the things he's doing, that's what a head coach should be able to provide their kids nowadays. If he wants to Uber them home, he should be able to Uber them home and get them a meal. But, you know, in the rule book, technically, that's a benefit that a head coach isn't allowed to give. Okay, can we get with the times? Can we get with the times?
Carlo, we're talking to Carlo Zovko from WIPIO Insider. Transferring. How much is that becoming more of a thing?
Oh, it's every single coach is fighting against it. Every single if you don't win that state championship, everybody in your team, oh, my son didn't get the ball enough. We're leaving. We're going to the next school over. We're going to the private school. We're going to Central Catholic. I mean, it's eye rolling. And you know, you get head coaches texting me like, you know, sometimes they just text me to like rant, and I feel for them. It's like you're now trying to retain your high school guys because, oh, their recruitment isn't this, their recruitment isn't that. I'm like, if you just send them to me, I'll give them an evaluation and I'll tell them, hey, you need to work on this, this, and this. Nobody wants to know what they can work on. They want to know, well, why come they're not watching my tape? Well, they're not watching your tape because you're running a 4.840. That's why, you know, don't let a safety flag you down in double-A football. That's why they're not watching your tape, okay? So nobody wants to hear that, but, you know, it's always the head coach's fault. And the head coaches, you know, they put in so much time and effort, and, you know, it's just they get pointed at and blamed.
So of the best teams in the WIPIO, and I'm not going to name teams. I'm just going to, let's say, the of the top four teams in the WIPIO preseason, what percentage of those, and I'm not going to include Central in this. Let's not include Central because it's public schools. What percentage of those rosters are have been with that school their entire career, their entire childhood, youth?
If you're out in Beaver County, probably about 70. It's starting to trickle down into Allegheny County a little bit more. But like if you're talking about like Peters Township and Upper St. Clair, probably up into like the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
McKeesport, Clarendon, those are like the hundreds, 99s, 100s. Yeah. But no, that it's starting to become a thing where like, hey, no, I'm just going to go over to this high school. And it's like, what, because you're a sophomore and didn't get 30 carries in a semifinal game? Like, are you kidding me? And that's a real
for
scenario.
Sure.
That's a real
scenario. You're dealing with that on the daily. I get it.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll get Carlo's thoughts on who to look out for in the WIPIO. What top players are in the WIPIO? Obviously, we'll talk about the games tomorrow and what teams might make it to the WIPIO championship this year. We'll get into all that next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music. or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's card of the week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Dickerson, Bostic, Kalas behind the glass. Carlos Zofko is here for another segment. Talk about some Whoopio football. Kalas, how you doing? You doing all right?
Yes.
All right, good.
I like Carlo talking about the football. I'm excited.
The football,
Bethel Park plays tomorrow, too. So.
Yes, they do.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Seneca Valley. That's there where my go. Girlfriend went to high school.
No, oh, nice.
She's all who are you rooting for? Bethel Park.
Nice.
What?
What?
Who are you rooting for August 30th?
That's going to be tough. I don't know. It might be a game
oh,
time
yeah.
decision.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my problem. Probably Pitt, because if Pitt loses that game, like I have close friends that are going to be fired, you know? And I love the Dukes, love the staff, love my alma mater, but, man, I hope they give them a game for a quarter or two and then Pitt wins by 21. That would be an ideal scenario.
Carlo, tomorrow, Woodland Hills, North Allegheny, Central Catholic, LaSalle. Who are the teams to look out for this year in the Whippeal? Let's go through every classification, who you like, who the top teams are, and the top players in the Whippeal. Let's go through the classifications as well.
Yeah, I mean, and let's start in 1A. I love 1A football because there's so many dominant players. But the problem is the most dominant is Matt Sigg, and he's going to break all of Terrell Pryor's records. There's a kid out in Greensburg, Central Catholic, Samir Crosby. I feel bad for Samir Crosby because he would be the talk of 1A if Matt Sigg didn't exist. Because he's just like Matt. He puts up unbelievable stats offensively and defensively. But the Clarendon Bears, I had 8 players from Clarendon on my Whippeal top prospect list. That's the most of a single-A team ever. That team would probably legitimately win 2A or 3A. That good, wow. That big up front, too. For a small school, Wayne Wade has them rolling. I mean, it's Clarendon. In 2A is a crapshoot. You might as well roll the dice. Seton was going to beat everybody by 50. They had 4 guys transfer out, and their quarterback is not eligible to play. So wow. all of a sudden, things get interesting there. I still like Seton LaSalle. I think that they're going to win the Whippeal Championship by 4 points and not 45 points like I would have predicted 3 weeks ago. But Seton LaSalle, South Allegheny, the Gladiators, Drew Cook, an electrifying receiver. His brother Elijah Cook throws him the ball, too. He's a sophomore.
Nice.
So, yeah, I like the Cooks. They're going to get cooking in 2A, and South Allegheny is going to be a team to watch out for. And that's another program where, you know, I would love to see South Allegheny win a Whippeal Championship. You know, just kind of a dormant program. Brian Hansen, the head coach, revives it. Every program he goes to, he revives. I would love to see him at, like, a Pine Richland or Central Catholic. He would win so much. AAA, I think this is the year my guy, Air Fran, Coach Leroy Johnson, gets it done at Imani Christian Academy. They have 2 Penn State commits in their backfield. Gabriel Jenkins, top 50 recruit, just committed to Penn State last week. David Davis, their running back, committed to Penn State a couple months ago. He's a senior. But, you know, they have to get through Avonworth. Luke O'Neill is one tough dude. He's probably going to go to a D2 school, but he's one of those kids where, you know, he's in elite high school football player.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see him in the A gap. Mm-hmm. Like, he will rearrange your face mask. So you win with guys like that in high school, and they did it last year. They beat Imani last year, and then they upset Central Valley last year. So, but I do like Imani to win 3A. In 4A, Is it the year of the Jags again? You know, Coach Chirpak, for the 38th year in a row, they are rebuilding again. TJ, oh, we're rebuilding. Yeah, every time you talk to them, oh, we're reloading. Rebuilding. He has the most Whipfield championships of all time. TJ, McKeesport, I would love to see McKeesport get their first Whipfield championship since 2005. I think Matt Miller can do it. Potentially our first five-star in a long time. Come on, Spo, Penn State commit again. Boy, I'm sick of saying that around here. But, you know, Terry Smith is one hell of a recruiter, so James Franklin does well too. But come on, Spell, probably the best player in the Whipfield, junior running back from McKeesport, probably will be a five-star. He's the number one running back in the country. If you want to go see a guy Saturday afternoon at the Wolverina and KDK kickoff classic, he's worth the price of admission. Whatever I think it's $25 for the all-day pass, he's worth about $75. So Pitt fans are getting NIL fund for that guy. Start racing it now. 5A is the fun one. Pine Richland might be the best team in the WPIO in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Their quarterback, Ubi Strader, I wish Pitt would offer. He has no power fours, though, so it's not like they're late in the game. But boy, is he electrifying. They have Lawrence Timmons' sons, Jay Timmons. He is the most feared man in the Whipfield. He's about a $170. He will knock your lights out. I mean, just a bad dude. And then you put him on offense, he's flying by you for a touchdown. Their big competition is Peters Township. I do like Pine Richland to beat Peters, though. Peters has one of my favorite players in Whipfield, Nolan DeLucia, Villanova commit quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, all these prissy quarterbacks out there. No, I only play quarterback. You know, I need to watch my NIL. Yeah, I need to. No, Nolan says, hey, in the big games, play me at safety. And he lays the lumber. It's like Kenny Pickett-esque. You know, you put on Kenny Pickett senior highlights. His first couple plays are him playing at safety, laying the lumber. So that's really
Tyler
cool.
Tyler Palko.
Yeah, Tyler Palko, same way. And then in 6A, it's 6A from now, for the next 10 years, going to be Central Catholic in NA. Central has the edge this year. NA, I don't want to say that it's a down year at NA, but, you know, they only return four starters on offense and five on defense. So, I mean, that's not terrible, but it's also not great if you want to be the 6A favorite. So I like Central there, and they have a plethora of Whipfield recruits. Probably my favorite underdog is Roman Thompson. He plays running back and linebacker for them, uncommitted junior. Just another tough dude. So
it's like a walking database.
Yes, he is.
This could go all day.
Yes, he is.
Could go all day.
Just did 4 hours last night with 11 guests.
4 hours, pulled an all-nighter. So over the first couple weeks, week zero, week one, what are the biggest games to keep an eye on?
Biggest games for me, the funnest one is probably Imani Christian versus Clarendon, because both expect to go undefeated. Tyler Boyd Stadium opening up at Clarendon.
T-Boyd.
I mean, how awesome is it that Tyler gives back to his – I mean, just like immediately. He's younger than I am. You know, he's 29 years old, maybe 30 now. He built his high school stadium. So that's going to be a fun one, because both of them legitimately are expecting to go undefeated, and one of them's going to lose in week zero. That's going to be a fun one. I kind of like LaSalle versus Central Catholic. Central's going to get a taste of their own medicine a little bit. I think LaSalle is going to be the number one team in the state, and I know that's blasphemy because St. Joe's Prep is St. Joe's Prep. They beat St. Joe's Prep last year. St. Joe's Prep just happened to beat them by a point in a playoff. So, you know, it goes back and forth there, but I think LaSalle is going to get them this year. And Jimmy Morrissey, Pitt center, has already been smack-talking me, and I don't even say anything back. You know, I'm like, if Central pulls the upset, I'm a lay into them real big. But no, I kind of like the Explorers against my alma mater, unfortunately. But I do think Central will bounce back and take the Whipfield. And then my favorite game of the weekend, once again, KDK kickoff classic at the Wolverina, NA at Woody High. That's going to tell you all you
big
need
time.
To know about 5A and 6A. Because I think Woody High, they have the seniors, they have the top players. Think about this. Woodland Hills quarterback Cam Walter and their wide receiver Scoop Smith. Cam leads Woodland Hills all time in passing. Scoop leads Woodland Hills all time in receiving. Think about that NFL lineage, all the top players, and they have two guys returning that are already the all time leaders at their position. So I think Woody High is the real deal this year. I'm taking the Wolverines to upset the Tigers.
Ooh.
But, you know, Whippy Insider's wrong all the time. You know, I only hit at about 80% rate, but I always hear about the 20% that I miss on. So, you know, they're always posted in the bulletin board. But I do like Woody High this weekend.
The Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Carlo, you're the man.
Thank you, gentlemen. It was a pleasure being here. I'm looking forward to the Whippy football and Pitt football this year.
Carlo.
And the Dukes.
He is the man, except for when he says that Trevor Lawrence is as talented as Josh Allen.
Give me my man.
And Trevor Lawrence is as talented as Patrick Mahomes
Give
and Josh
me
Allen.
Give my man T. Lawrence all day.
That's
it's blasphemy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carla.
Gentlemen,
thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. All right, coming up next, we will actually get into the connection I was talking about earlier with Ben Roethlisberger on his Football and Podcast, what he said about the possible connection of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That next,
I'm feeding y'all this, okay, Steeler Nation family? I am giving you guys all this why to be excited and why this is going to be, like, those two could go crazy. And Aaron's has some great receivers, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't had to do like this either. I'm watching them at practice, and it wasn't all perfect. They're still working through things, you know? And it may take a little while. It may take a couple of weeks to get going because they're still, you know, you got to get, they're probably not going to play in the preseason this week either.
Sure.
So it's going to take a few weeks potentially. I mean, you're going to see some flashes. You're going to see some great things, okay? So let me tell you this. When they get going,
really,
I'm telling you, it's going to be something special, okay?
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Dickerson Bostic, Kyle's with you on the Fan Morning Show. Pat, that was Ben Roethlisberger on his football and podcast talking about the connection of DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers. How good do you think that connection can be this year? And from your experience, how important is that connection on and off the field with quarterback and number one wide receiver?
Well, it's incredibly important. I mean, when you have the arm talent, knowledge base, track record of Aaron Rodgers, and the physical talent and, you know, 6-year sample size of DK Metcalf, if they can get on the same page, you know, on those one-on-one ball opportunities, it's not necessarily the slant route or the deep cross or the deep post. It's the one-on-one ball back shoulder situations, that communication, that if you can have that kind of mental relationship, it's impossible to stop guys like that. Now, I think the bigger thing here, and Ben would go on to talk about this on his podcast, was they're going to have a connection. And if they get one-on-one coverage, Aaron's going to be able to get him the football. Their relationship, how they manifest the back shoulder throws, the when a guy's beat, when to put it over the top, you know, those types of nuances. That they've had all offseason to figure that out. They've had all training camp to figure that out. Watching them, the little bit I have, they seem to have that rapport. The question is, can they protect Aaron, and can they run the ball well enough to get the one-on-one coverage and get DK out of bracket situations? Is there enough around DK? Which I think there is. I mean, listen, I think they have perhaps in totality one of the best tight end rooms in football. I mean, give me a tight end room that has just a tree in Darnell Washington, a very good top 10 tight end in Pat Freiermuth, and then one of the best slash tight ends in football in Jonnu Smith. I mean, you got all three of those guys. You got Calvin Austin, who can take the top off, right? You've got a combination of Robert Woods and Scotty Miller and whoever else they add that could be on the other side at a flanker spot. I think they have enough. My biggest question here is where DK can be the most effective, right, is down the field, Now, he'll do stuff after the catch, and he'll muscle guys and so forth, but you want to throw him the ball down the field where his size, speed, range can take over. In order to do that at the highest level, you've got to be able to run the football. You've got to be in situations where you're going to get one-on-one coverage, and you can be aggressive. That's not second and 13. That's not third and 15, right? That's second and 5. Though that, the situational component to me, and then the execution of that kind of front seven, including the tailbacks, will contribute as much to DK having a season similar to 2022 when he had 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns, or 21 where he had 12 touchdowns, or if he's going to have another year like he did last year, which I expect. He's going to have at least 70 catches probably, and he's going to be at or near 1,000 yards. I mean, George Pickens had how many yards last year?
Right.
So he's going to, they're going to be good. It's, can they be great? And I think it takes more than just those two for them to be great.
From what you've watched in preseason, the two preseason games up to this point, do you think the offensive line is capable of protecting Aaron Rodgers and being able to get that push in the run game? Do you think they've gotten better? It is my question throughout this preseason.
There aren't alarm bells ringing off that there were last year. That being said, I would not extend that beyond into a confidence or overconfidence in that group. I think there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. Right, they struggled to run the ball by their own admission against the Bucs in not only the preseason game, with the exception of a couple big runs, but in that shared practice, right, that joint practice, they struggled to run the football. Aaron Rodgers said it himself. That's a good front in Tampa. That's a really good test. Because it was closed to the press and fans, they were getting a real look, not a watered-down, vanilla preseason defensive scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to learn a lot in week one. The Jets have a very good front. They always have. They've got a defensive-minded head coach. We're going to learn a lot about that group in week one. I don't think I know enough right now to make a declaration. I'm more skeptical than anything, just given the inexperience, right? They have been, they're bringing Dalton Reiser in for a visit today, right? They're openly exploring reinforcements at positions. Doesn't exactly scream confidence in their depth. And you're depending upon a right tackle moving to left tackle, that's his natural position, but has had a spotty NFL career to this point. Two second-year players inside, say Amala, who's had injury, and then a rookie at right tackle, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can feel great about that heading into the season, so time will tell.
And I believe that they will play tonight, at least the four that have been playing throughout the preseason, Broderick, Faltanu, McCormick, and Frazier. I believe that they should play tonight, and I believe that they will play tonight.
I think, again, the positive of preseason is you're not reading about them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about red flags, big issues. If we come out of tonight and there are no penalties, there are no, you know, five-step drop hitting the back of the head sacks, right? There aren't these huge negative plays, and they acquit themselves in a third preseason game nicely. At least you're not going in with, again, the sirens going off like we've got a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in a moment of clarity, Mike Tomlin, Pat Meyer would say to you, we're not going to know until we head and play New York.
Yep.
And then even then, right, that's just the beginning.
Yep. Yep. Coming up next, Quiz Callis.
Oh.
Yeah, baby. Callis, you ready?
Am I ever really ready?
No, you're not.
But perhaps that's if up you next. Were, you'd do better.
That is true.
Yeah, you give me the questions ahead of time.
All right, yeah, I will not do that. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge at Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. All right, Callis, we got to run through this because we're pushing it with the clock. I'm going to set the over-under already at one.
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 Oh, boy.
It's always when you set them the lowest does that number backfire.
We'll see if it does.
All right.
After watching the America's Team documentary on the Dallas Cowboys the other day, it reminded me that there were so many big-time players in the 90s. So many big-time players. So many Hall of Famers. Callis, you were born in 1998, correct?
Yeah.
These names should be familiar to anyone who's ever really watched football or is a fan of NFL football that I name. So I'm going to name the name of the player from the 90s, the great player of the 90s, and you have to name which team they played for. Okay?
Sure.
You have to name which team they played for. I'm going to name the player. You name the team or teams. I'll give you that. If there's multiple teams and you get one, I'll give you that answer correct. Are you ready?
Sure.
Number one, Brett Favre.
Green Bay Packers.
There you go. There's one.
One for one.
One for one. All right, Callis. Number two, John Elway.
Denver Broncos.
You hit the over under already. Good job. I love it.
Good job.
I love it. Number three, Troy Aikman.
Dallas Cowboys.
Three for three.
Three for three.
You said it at one, Doran. He is smoking you.
He is smoking. This is good. This is what we want.
That's not good for the ratings. People like when I fail. But
no,
anyway.
No, you're good. You will fail. Hold on. Number four, Emmitt Smith.
Oh, boy.
Pittsburgh Steelers?
Oh, my.
No.
What did you just say?
He said the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm thinking of somebody else named Emmitt. I don't know.
If Emmitt Smith played for the Steelers, they would have won another Super Bowl.
He could have played for the Steelers, though. From the documentary, it showed, because the Steelers traded out of that position, and they traded back.
To take who?
To take Eric Green, the tight end. Ooh. They traded back with the Cowboys, and they picked Emmitt Smith in 1990.
Oh, boy.
Insane. But no.
Cowboys then was the answer.
Yes, you were wrong.
Cool.
Number five, Jerry Rice.
San Francisco 49?
Oh. Yes. Okay. Wow. Good job. Good job, Kallis. Number six, Jim Kelly.
Buffalo Bills.
This guy is on a heater.
I am impressed.
The guy that lost four Super Bowls in a row, yes.
There we go. Good job. Number seven, Steve Young.
San Francisco 49ers.
He's rolling. He's rolling, Pat.
He's on one today.
Number eight, Rod Woodson.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay. Number nine, Deion Sanders.
Prime.
See, this is one of the ones that should be obvious.
Exactly. You've done very well lately, but you get one wrong that you shouldn't.
He could guess a couple for this guy.
Right, yeah, honestly. I let him. Yeah.
Raiders comes to mind.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
No. It is the Cowboys, the Falcons, 49ers, and Redskins he actually did play for. So you were wrong with the Raiders, and you were wrong with Emmitt Smith and the Steelers. See, you always have fun. Okay, number 10. Dan Marino.
Miami Dolphins.
There you go. All right, good. Number 11, Randy Moss.
Ooh. This is one
he played for a couple of teams.
He did.
He was on the Patriots, right? New England Patriots.
He was,
but not in the 90s.
Not in the 90s, he wasn't.
Green Bay Packers?
No. Minnesota Vikings.
Oh.
All right, last one. Number 12, Mike Allstott.
What a great player.
Great player.
I don't even recognize the name. Mike Allstott.
Excuse me?
Vikings.
No. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kallis, you actually did pretty good. What did he miss? Three?
He was outstanding.
That was pretty good, Kallis. Except for the Emmitt Smith. That was tough. That's tough.
That's a tough look.
Yeah. Jeez, oh man.
You set the over-under at one. I'm proud of
Yeah, you did good. I'll give it to
correct.
You. You're doing better. It's really good that your knowledge of things now in sports are growing.
Boy, I'm just getting better.
Yeah, except for John Wehner and Will Howard and things of that nature. But you're getting better.
Will Howard going to Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, that is that's pretty bad. All right, coming up next, we have odds and ends. Preseason edition of Odds and Ends, last preseason edition of Odds and Ends. We have that coming up next here on the Fan Morning Show. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 80, low of 69 with overcast. Tomorrow, high of 82, low of 65, clear skies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters
and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.